Well, let me ask you a question. What did you come to hear this morning? Maybe I should ask it another way. Who did you come to hear this morning? Did you by chance come this morning to hear a sermon by Alan Lockerman? Well, if you did, thank you so much for the compliment. I appreciate that. But I have to tell you something. It will not sound nice, but you have foolishly wasted your time. If all you've come this morning to do is to hear a message or hear a sermon by Alan Lockerman, it is a total waste. I mean, the truth of the matter is, I'm just a man like anybody else, a man with an opinion, no better, no worse than anyone else's. And if you came to hear a word from me, what a waste of time. What a waste of effort. I mean, you went to all that effort. You got up this morning, you know, you took a shower, you shaved, and whatever else you women do, and you got dressed, and you came down here, you fought the traffic downtown, found a place to park, fought all that, came walking in, got in here early enough to get a comfortable seat, and all you're going to hear is a word from me? My goodness, what a waste of effort, what a waste of time. However, some of you came for another reason. You didn't come to hear a sermon by Alan Lockerman. You may have come to hear a message from God. You don't want a word from Alan. You want a word from the Lord. I'm here to tell you, if that's why you came, then all the effort is worth it, and then some. If you hear not me speak, but God speak, not a sermon, but a message, then all the trouble, all the effort is well worth it. Now, here's the problem. Sitting in this room this morning are two kinds of people. There are those who are going to hear a sermon, and then there are those who are going to get a message. There are those who are going to hear a word from me, and then there are some who are going to have a word from God. You say, well, what's the difference between those two groups? Well, some in this room have ears to hear. Some do not. Some in this room have ears to hear, but they're not listening. Some in this room have ears to hear, and they're listening, but God may not be speaking to them anymore. Whoa, that's a heavy thought, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Take your Bible, if you will, please. Listen carefully. The two places I want you to turn, I want you to take your Bible and open them to the New Testament book of Matthew, and look in Matthew chapter 13. And when you find the 13th chapter of Matthew, then I want you to put your marker right there. And mark, if you will, beginning with verse 10, but Matthew 13, beginning with verse 10. And then I want you to look back in the Old Testament and find Isaiah chapter 6. Now, we'll start in Isaiah and end up in Matthew, but look, Matthew 13, Isaiah chapter 6. This morning, we're going to talk about having ears to hear. If you've been with us, you know that we have been involved for some time in a series of messages. We have entitled this series of messages, Becoming the Person God Saved You to Be. It's based on the premise, the idea, the thesis, that God saved you for something, not for nothing. That God had a purpose in mind when He saved you. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are the workmanship of Christ, or God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That simply means before the foundation of the world, God had something in mind for your life. The Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians said, I want to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. The idea is this. Paul was saying, Christ has a hold on my life for a reason. I want to find out what that reason is, and I want to become the person He saved me to be. Now, that's what we're talking about. Now, already we've learned a number of things. We've learned that you have to work out your own salvation. Becoming the person God wants you to be and saved you to be is not automatic. You have to work it out. Then we learned that you become the person you choose to become. And then we learned that you have to live life straight ahead. You can't live life looking in the rearview mirror and ever become what God intends. But then last week, we were talking about learning to walk daily in the will of God. I said, if you want to be God's person, the person God saved you to be, you need to stop leaning on your own understanding and start letting God's voice guide your path. Now, here's a problem. When I preached that message, a number of folks were concerned. And they said, Pastor, in various ways, different people said, Pastor, I'm having trouble with the idea that God actually speaks in such a way that I can hear. I'm not hearing God speak. You talk about how God will speak, His voice will speak to us within the parameters of His Word and by the witness of the Spirit. But Pastor, I'm having a hard time hearing God when God speaks. Well, why is that? Why is it that we don't hear as well as we ought to hear what God is saying? Well, this passage of Scripture is going to shed some insight on it. Let me show you. Look, if you will, Isaiah chapter 6, back up into verse 8 for a running start. This, of course, is the commissioning passage where Isaiah is commissioned by God. King Uzziah has died. Isaiah has a vision of the Lord. Then in verse 8, the Bible says, Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. By the way, please note, Isaiah had no trouble hearing the voice of God. Now look in verse 9. And he said, Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Now, you've got to understand what this is. When Isaiah makes this statement, or when God tells Isaiah to say this, this is a judgment of God against the people. And God is saying, you will not hear what I am saying. Let me give you an amplification of that. You're in Isaiah. Now turn back to the book of Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 13. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, Jesus takes this prophecy of Isaiah. He amplifies it and applies it to his day and gives you and I insight. Look in verse 10. Now the first 9 verses of chapter 13, Jesus gives us the parable of the seed and the soils. The seed is the word of God, the soil, the hearts of men. But pick up the reading with verse 10. The Bible says, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Now Jesus had been teaching in parables and they didn't understand why. Now watch this verse, it's a key verse. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now watch this statement. But to them, it has not been given. In other words, you are supposed to hear, they are not. Verse 12. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Now here's that passage we read in Isaiah chapter 6. Jesus is now quoting it. Hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now, again, let me tell you what's happening. This is a passage of Scripture where Jesus is speaking a very bold, very tough word. He's speaking of some who will not hear, cannot hear, and even some that God is not speaking to. Now this morning what I want to do is take you through these two passages. We will bounce back and forth between Isaiah and Matthew, so keep your markers in both places. I want you to see that. But this morning I want to just talk to you about why it is some of us aren't picking up on what God is saying. Before I do that, though, let me give you a word of warning here. I said this to the early service. Let me say it to you. This is a tough passage. And in many ways, this is a harsh message. In fact, in some senses, this is a passage of Scripture that some will take very personally and will strike a sensitive note in some people's lives. In fact, it's such a hard passage of Scripture that I have struggled to be at peace with this for quite some time. I've been struggling all week, in fact, to get a peace about what I should say from these two passages of Scripture. It is going to be tough in certain points. Not all of it, but some of it is going to be tough. But I have to be honest with you and tell you, I don't know that there's going to be a more important message for me to preach in this pulpit than this message. Look, the bottom line is if you're not hearing from God, if all you're hearing is me, this is a total waste. And if you're not hearing from God, you're never going to grow, you're never going to mature, and you're never really going to have a relationship with Him. Keep in mind, we've talked about the Christian faith, and we've said it's not a religious exercise. It is rather a living relationship. Well, how do you have a relationship with someone that's not speaking to you or someone you're not listening to? If you want that relationship, you've got to hear what he's saying. Okay, let's dig in. We're going to be rather simple with this. Let me give you 2 or 3 realities, and that's what these are. Realities about people who do not hear when God speaks. Reality number 1. Some people do not hear because they cannot hear. The first thing I want you to jot down and understand, there's some people, and I don't know a better way to say it than this, who cannot get it. No matter how God says it, no matter how often it's said, no matter how often it's proclaimed, there's some people who simply do not have the capacity to hear from God. Now let me tell you the issue. The issue at hand is a lack of faith. The issue is God only speaks to those who are people of faith, and if you're not a person of faith, you will not hear God. I don't care how much you want to. If you're not a person of faith, you're not going to hear God. In fact, that's in part what's going on in the Isaiah passage of Scripture. This is a passage of Scripture where Isaiah deals with some people who are having a hard time because they're not people of faith. You say, well, didn't the people in Isaiah's day believe? Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. There's a difference between believing in God and believing God. Did you hear that? Let me say that one more time. I want you to write this down. There's a difference between believing in God and believing God. Most people you will encounter believe in God. In Isaiah's day, most people believed in God. You had been hard-pressed to find anyone in the nation of Judah that didn't believe in God. But there's a difference between believing in and believing. Believing in is believing He exists. Believing means you trust in Him. You put your faith in Him. You're walking in Him. As you continue to read in the Isaiah account, in the very next chapter, chapter 7, as an example of this, you have King Ahaz, who's about to enter into an alliance that he shouldn't enter into. And Isaiah speaks the word of God to him and tells him not to do this thing. Just trust God. Believe that God is going to take care of you. But Ahaz doesn't want to do that. See, this is the point. Some people are never going to get it because they're not people of faith. They're people of the flesh. Let me show you the New Testament corollary to this. You're in Isaiah chapter 6. Back up, if you will, or go forward, actually, to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. Let me just show you something. Familiar text, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me show you where the New Testament speaks about those who cannot pick up on what God is saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you've heard this text before, but listen to it again. The Apostle Paul is writing the Christians at Corinth. Now, to understand what he's about to say, you must know the definition of some terms. He's about to speak in this passage, in the next passage, about three different types of people: natural people, carnal people, and spiritual people. Now, to define those terms in an oversimplification, it's this. Natural people, in all likelihood, refer to those who've never been saved. They live by the nature that they possess. They live by the flesh. Carnal people are people who perhaps are saved, but spiritually they're struggling. And spiritual people are those who are saved and walking by faith. Now again, that's an oversimplification, and I know, and some of you theology students, you don't have to come and tell me that I oversimplified it. I know that. Okay. But the point he's making is this. There are these different types of people. Now notice what he says about natural people, those who are living by the flesh, not by faith. Verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them. Now watch, that's an important statement. Not only does he not receive them or accept them, he can't even know the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges, that means understands all things, that means understands them spiritually, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. But one more time, read this verse. Verse 14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, nor can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. What Paul is saying is this. There are people who, no matter what happens around them, they don't get it when it comes to God. They are not equipped. They're not people of faith, and the Spirit of God is not dealing with them. This is an oversimplification as well, an analogy that you've often heard, but it's somewhat like not being able to pick up the things that go on around here. In this room at this very moment, you've heard this analogy, but in this room at this very moment, there are all kinds of sounds and all kinds of sights. There are all kinds of things going on. There's music and there are comedies and dramas and athletics, all of it happening right now in this room. You just don't see them or you can't hear them. But if you had a television set or you had a radio, you could hear those things, you could see those things, but because you are not equipped currently to pick up on those things, you don't. Unless some of you brought something in and you're listening to while I'm preaching, like the kid in the last service with the iPod, maybe you did that. But the reality is, if you don't have a radio, you don't have a television, you don't pick up on the radio signals, and you don't, or television signals or radio waves. Now, apply that. It's not a perfect analogy, but apply that in the spiritual realm. If the Spirit of God is not in you, you're not a person of faith, you're a person of the nature, flesh nature. You just don't get it, and you never will. You never will. You see this sometimes in people. You try to share your faith, you're so excited, and they look at you as if you're talking to them in a foreign language. What a frustration that is. Some of you know quite well what that verse means when it says, do not be unequally yoked. You married someone who's not a believer, and you go home from church some Sundays and you want people to, you want your husband to know what's gone on in your life, and you're so excited. Oh, you want to share this. And he looks at you as if you're babbling. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. He can't get it. He can't understand it. As far as he's concerned, you may as well be speaking in a foreign language. He does not have the ability to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And I see this in worship services. I said in the early service, this sounds a little peculiar. There are times when I can just sense God moving in a worship. And it's almost, and don't take this the wrong way, but it's sort of like a wave. And I used that in the early service, and some of them looked at me like I was nuts. Yeah, like that. Yeah. It's almost like this wave of the Spirit. You can almost sense it, God just moving across the sanctuary. And I can see on occasions where people are being moved, and it just sort of sweeps like a wave. But at the same time, you can see that wave of God's Spirit moving across the sanctuary. You can see little islands that it just seems to hop right over. Individuals who don't get it, and they never will get it. I don't mean to suggest by that God can't break through on us. In fact, the truth of the matter is, God has to break through on all of us at one point or the other, or none of us would be saved. But I'm talking about the folks who just simply cannot hear the voice of God. They're in this worship service this morning. They may be sitting next to you and you hear God speaking, but they don't have a clue God says anything at all. Now, I want you to understand, most of us in this room are not in that boat. Very few of you really are. But there's a second thing I want you to notice. Now, some people do not hear the Word of God because they cannot hear. However, more likely, there's some people who do not hear the Word of God because they simply do not listen. The issue here is not faith. Now, let me say it again. Some cannot hear. The greater problem is some simply do not listen. The issue here is not faith. The issue here is focus. The issue here is that people have ears to hear, but they do not tune in. Let me tell you what's happening. As you go back to the prophet Isaiah, one of the things that Isaiah deals with throughout the book of Isaiah, and in particular in the first chapter, he deals with people who go through the motions of religion without really tuning into God. In fact, let me read a passage to you. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 11. There's an interesting passage. Isaiah says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, saith the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offering of rams, fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand, to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifice. Incense is an abomination to me." Stop there. We could go on. Do you know what he's saying? God is speaking to the prophet Isaiah, and he's saying to this people, listen, why are you going through all these motions? You're showing up and you're doing all of these things. The problem, though, is this. They were showing up, but they were not tuning in. This is a problem throughout the entire Old Testament and New as well. People who gather together, they show up for worship, but they don't focus, they don't tune in, and they don't hear God speak. There's some of you who've been in this building now for 45, 50 minutes, whatever it's been, and you have yet to focus. You've yet to tune in. You're just sitting there, and you have yet to just concentrate and focus in on what God is saying. When I was a little boy, I had an attention problem, like most little boys. And when my mother tried to talk to me, and I wouldn't listen, she had this way of doing things. She would come up to me. She would put her hands on my cheeks like this. And she'd look right in my face, and she'd say, "Boy," which I thought was my name. She said, "Boy, are you listening to me?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Did you hear what I said?" I said, "Uh-huh." And then she'd say, "Repeat what I just said." And I'd say, I hadn't heard a thing. The reality is, my little boy brain was going 1,000 miles an hour in 1,000 different directions. And I wasn't tuned in. What goes around comes around. I had 3 kids just like that, especially my middle child, Jeff. He's a rock star now. He thinks he is, and actually he's a country music singer. And actually he just plays the guitar. Actually he just rides around the country. And it's an interesting thing. When he was a little boy growing up, he had this attention issue just like I did as a boy growing up. And I'd talk to him. I'd take his little face into my hands, and I'd say, "Jeff, are you listening to me?" He'd say, "Uh-huh." "Did you hear what I said?" "Yes, sir." "Repeat what I said to you." Sometimes my wife wants to do that to me just like that as well. The reality, though, is this. Some of us come into the faith just like that, and we don't pay any attention. We're not really focused in. There are people who've come into this building this morning. You consider yourself to be Christians, but you didn't really expect to hear God speak. You didn't expect to hear a word from the Lord at all. You just simply came and you sat here and you got a sermon. By the way, do you know why you have to tune in and really focus when you worship? The reason you have to do that is because, quite frankly, God doesn't speak in a loud voice. Let me show you a passage you're probably aware of, but it's an important one to remember. Listen to this passage, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. This is the story of Elijah. Elijah wants a word from God. He's trying to hear what God is saying. He thinks God speaks with a loud voice. Chapter 19, verse 11, the Bible says, "Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind." In other words, Elijah was saying, this mighty sound, this mighty wind, God must be speaking, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there came an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire, there came a still, small voice. And so it was when Elijah heard it, what? That still, small voice. He wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. You see, God doesn't shout. God doesn't scream. God doesn't make a lot of outrageous noise. The reason you have to tune in is because God speaks often in a whisper. This is what we referred to last week as the witness of the Spirit. God's Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. It is the still, small voice of God speaking. But you have to tune in. You say, well, I don't understand what you mean by tune in. Well, I'll give you a couple of things. It means, first of all, come with a sense of expectation. Come asking God to speak to you, not me to speak to you. Come asking God, and it's amazing what God will do. It's amazing how sometimes God will take a message and say something to someone that I never really intended to say. Did that make sense? Did I say that right, Jim? I don't know if I said that right. Let me try to say it again. It's amazing. Sometimes God will say something in a message that I didn't intend to say, but the Spirit of God will speak to people. I've had people come up to me, and they've said things like, "Pastor, you spoke to my heart." And then they'll tell me what I said to them. And I think, wait a minute, I didn't say that. That was not what the message was about. But somehow or another, the Spirit of God just began addressing their spirit. Come into the worship service with an expectation. When you read your Bible with an expectation. When you read a Christian book, when you're in times of prayer, seek to hear from God. Ask God to speak to you. Here's something you can do, and I do from time to time. When you have that impression, when you hear that still small voice, write down what God has said. If any of you have ever seen my desk across the way, there is on my desk a sign that says, "A cluttered desk is a sign of genius." And I'm a brilliant guy. My desk is just covered. Most of the time, it's covered with all kinds of little papers. My desk in my study at home is even worse than that. It's actually got paper down on the floor next to it. What happens is this: I'll pray or read my Bible, or I'm reading a Christian book, and it is as though the Spirit of God will speak to me, and I'll take whatever piece of paper I can find, and I'll just jot out what I think God has said, and I just usually leave it there. And I've got stacks of paper on my desk. And what I do is this: I listen and I write those things down, and then I go back and look for patterns. Does that make sense? Patterns of things that I think God has said. And I begin to understand that's how God is speaking. Now let me tell you how some people are. There are those who do not hear because they cannot hear. Far more often there are those who do not hear because they are not listening. Now none of this is really hard. But now we come to the one that is. You see, there's a third reality. There are those who can't hear and those who don't listen. But the third reality is the tough one. There are some people to whom God is no longer speaking. God has spoken to them, but He's not now speaking to them. This is where it gets tough. There are people in this room who can recall no occasion of ever hearing the voice of God. But there are other people in this room who can remember a time when God clearly spoke, but it's been so long, you can't remember anything recent. God doesn't seem to be speaking to you. You're listening, you're tuning in, but you're just not hearing. The reality is sometimes God is not speaking. In fact, if you go back to the Isaiah passage, that is precisely what's going on here. I think what most people miss in the Isaiah passage is what this is really all about. If you go back and read this thing, beginning with verse 9, he says, go and tell this people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive. And then he says, make the heart of the people dull and their ears heavy. You've got to understand what this is. This is a judgment. This is an awful judgment. This isn't God criticizing and condemning people who aren't paying attention, who aren't listening. This is God saying, because you don't listen, I'm not going to speak anymore. In fact, that's precisely the interpretation that Jesus gave to it. Go back to Matthew chapter 13 for a moment. Let me show you. Look again. Let me explain what's happening. Get the context here. In Matthew 13, Jesus is teaching. He's been teaching in parables. This is something fairly new at that point. And the disciples are curious as to why he's doing this. So in verse 10, they ask the question. The disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? A paraphrase simply is this. Why the riddles? Why don't you just say what you mean? Tell us up front. Why all these stories, these parables, these riddles? And then you come across one of the most difficult passages in the New Testament. Verse 11. He, Jesus, answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Now, a loose paraphrase of that passage is this. Here's why I speak in riddles and parables, as you call them. Because to you, God is speaking. To others, He is not. It is for you to hear God's voice. But there are others who are hearing these parables, Jesus said, to whom God is not speaking. It is to you that the mysteries of the kingdom of God have been given, but not to them. Jesus is interpreting the passage from Isaiah as a judgment. And the judgment is God, who once spoke, isn't speaking. Now, what is the issue here? If those who cannot hear, if the issue is faith, and those who do not listen, the issue is focus. The issue here is faithfulness, or maybe we should say faithlessness. The idea in this passage of Scripture, and in particular in the Isaiah passage, is that here were people who were being faithless to begin with. They were not being faithful to what God had already said, so why should God say anything else? In fact, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 6, or back up into chapter 5, what you notice is before this judgment is given, God delivers a series of woes or judgments on the people, condemnation of the people. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, woe to those who join house to house. They add field to field. He's talking about people who are being greedy, and he's condemning them for that. Verse 11 of chapter 5, woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night. Now he's talking about people who are following a lifestyle of revelry. They're living faithlessly. Verse 18, woe to those who draw iniquity with the cords of vanity and sin as if it, with a cart rope. He's talking about people who are just drawing and drawn to sin and drawing sin to them. Verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Verse 21, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. He's condemning people for being proud. Verse 22, woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink. What's he talking about? This is a series of condemnations. Woe, 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 woe. Over and over again he says woe or condemning. He's condemning these people for their faithlessness. It is as though he's saying, listen, you're not even being faithful with what I've told you. Why should I tell you anything else? Let me give you a rule of thumb. Disobedience and faithlessness always creates a barrier between you and God. And in this case, in the Isaiah account, and by the interpretation of Jesus in Matthew 13, the implication is, because of the faithlessness of our lives, sometimes God just stops talking. In fact, one of the most fearful judgments you can ever have, there's a judgment against you where God stops talking. Let me give you one of the most frightening texts in all the Bible. It's found in the book of Amos, and probably you know it. Amos chapter 8. This is a text that talks about God passing a judgment upon a whole people, a whole nation. Sometimes I think this judgment is cast upon a church. Listen to it. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, now watch, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying there's going to come a judgment from God, and the judgment is not going to be a physical famine, but a spiritual famine. It isn't about food and water, it's about the word of God. And he says, there's going to come a time when I'll pass a judgment when I will not speak. And men will go to and fro looking for a word from God and not hearing one. This, I believe, is a judgment that's already been cast upon some nations in our world. We often hear about the blight, the drought of spiritual things in some of the European countries where there's virtually no spiritual life at all. It is as though there's no word of God. God's not speaking. This is a blight. This is a judgment against some churches I know. There are churches where you don't hear God speak at all. Sermons are preached, but the word of God doesn't seem to touch anyone's life. Why would he do this? The bottom line reality is when you and I aren't faithful with what we already know to do, why should God tell us anything else? Charles Stanley said this, I heard him some time ago, an interesting statement. He said, you know, when God is dealing with you about a sin and you don't deal with that sin, I doubt that God will say anything else to you until you deal with that sin. It's a powerful statement. Some of you that God's been speaking to, he's been telling you to give up an immoral relationship, and you won't give up that immoral relationship, and you wonder why you haven't heard from God. There's some people who God has been telling to give up an unholy, ungodly habit. You won't give up that unholy, ungodly habit. And you come to church and you say, oh God, just speak to me. Oh God, speak to me. Why? Why would he? For some, it's restoring a relationship. There are marriages in this church and marriages in this community where wives are so disrespectful to their husbands and husbands are so cruel and unloving toward their wives, and yet these people will come to church here and church other places all over this community and say, oh God, we're seeking a word from you. Why would God give you a word? If the word he's already given you haven't heeded. I'll give you one. I gave it in the early service and got in a little trouble, get in a little trouble again. Some of you want a word from God about your finances and you hadn't tithed in your life. Oh God, speak to me about my job, about my finances. You know, Easter Sunday morning, we had over 3,000 people. And on the day we had 3,000 people, we only had 156 people, I believe it was, contribute. Interesting, isn't it? Let me pull my glasses down so I can see your faces. Interesting, isn't it? Oh, God, I need a word from you. Why? This is the implication of both these texts, both Isaiah and Matthew 13. Of a God who just stops speaking because we are not listening and we're not heeding what he's already told us. And for some of us, it's not a matter of a moral issue, it's a matter of a personal calling. God has dealt with you about some issue and you just haven't responded. I love what Rick Ferguson said about it. Rick Ferguson, a pastor in Colorado, killed not too terribly long ago in a tragic accident. But he used to say it like this. He said, you know, walking in God's will is sort of like following the headlights in your car. And he said, your headlights at night just shine a few feet, maybe 100 or so feet in front of you. They do not illuminate the entire trip at once. And he said, if you want to see more, you got to go further. But the moment you stop, the light stops. And you get no more illumination until you move forward. There's a sense in which that's true for your relationship with God. How do I say this? There has, in the lives of a lot of people, this is exactly where it has stopped. If you go back and look at your life and ask the question, when was it I stopped hearing from God? You may find out that it was when God said something to you that you did not obey. And I more than half suspect he will not speak again until you do obey. God wants to speak to you. This may not be the best image of this. When I was disciplining my children from time to time, they would do something wrong. And so I would give them a silent. Every parent in this room, has given their child the silent treatment. I promise you, you have. And every child has given the parent the silent treatment. There are times when you're disciplining your children and you know the best discipline is just to say nothing to them. And it bothers them because you say nothing. But can I tell you something? It doesn't bother them nearly as much as it bothers you. On those occasions when I wasn't speaking to my children because I was trying to make a point with them, I wanted to speak so badly. My heart longed and yearned to speak, but I knew for their sake I shouldn't. Maybe this is not the best way to picture it, but this is how I picture it. I think of God as wanting to speak, but being quiet. His heart hungers to say something, but he's being quiet because you haven't obeyed what he's already said to obey. Last word, good news. He will speak again. You go back and you find where you disobeyed. He will speak again. I guess the glorious good news is our God is not a God who just leaves us out there. He's a God who speaks. I don't know whether everyone in this room believes that or not, but I want you to know I do. He is the God who speaks. Listen to what he has to say. And if you hear the faintest voice of God at all, do not argue with God. Do not rationalize your sin. Do not negotiate with his will. Just say yes. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. It's a difficult word. It's not easy to preach. It's not easy to live. It's a word that strikes us in sensitive ways. Most of us want to believe that we can go about our business and do what we will and do what we wish, and that you'll speak to us all the time. But your prophet has said, and your son has said, there come times when you're not going to speak again. Times when our faithlessness has created a barrier and you're not going to speak until we respond. In this room are people who desperately need a word from you. Some who are listening, they're tuned in and I believe your spirit is speaking. Others who for the first time need to receive Christ so that they can begin to actually hear the voice of the Spirit. And some who need to deal with issues in their life. And until they deal with those issues, they'll not hear from you again. Holy Spirit, have your way. Rain down upon us and do your work as only you can. Don't let us take any credit for what you're doing. But move in powerful ways. Let people hear you speak, Lord, so that they can respond. Today, if I hear your voice, I will not harden my heart. I pray no one in the room will. Holy Spirit, do your work. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.